This spoiler-filled podcast is recorded live, unscripted, and intended for those over 18. Now prepare your ears for the audio stimulation they've been waiting for all day as we step into
the spoiler room.
A shrubbery!
Yes, indeed.
Trim the bush.
Yeah,
trim them bushes.
If he was trimming her bushes, I'm sure he'd have been much happier about life. Maybe that's why he was so defeated. Maybe he couldn't trim a whole bush.
More than halfway. So.
Anyway, sorry.
So do-it-yourself, definitely one that's a subject for interpretation.
And yes.
Yeah, I'm going to get a kick if any of these directors listen to this after I tag their films in this. They're going to be going, please.
What a bunch of fucking assholes. They didn't get it at all.
Please tell us how stupid we are. I have no problem with being told how stupid
I am. You know,
it's
too much. Your podcast is too much. Yeah. I'll show you too much.
Then we had The Makeover, which was the perfect example of what you could do in 1 minute flat with a film.
Oh, that was so much.
Three-panel comic strip movie.
Yes, yeah, it was a three-panel comic strip.
Just boom, boom,
all it was
boom.
Was two people in a white room, and the guy was obnoxious, and she hated it, and she did him in, and it was done so beautifully.
Don't eat crackers in my bed!
Yeah. It wasn't crackers, that was muffins.
That was muffins. I mean, that guy ate muffins horribly, you know.
Like
no wonder she wasn't happy.
A waffle.
Like a donkey eating a waffle. I think I'll name the podcast that now. This was a donkey eating a waffle right here.
Donkey eating a waffle.
No,
not a lot to
say about it, but if you can find it, folks, The Makeover was a perfect example of what you can do within 1 minute flat. Tell a whole story, comical, boom, 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 hit the points, you're done.
And I think it was, what was it, from France? Or
let me check it out quick. I think
There was no dialogue.
If there was dialogue, there was like one line of subtitled dialogue at best.
Oh, I don't even think there
was
information.
No,
I didn't think, okay.
No, there wasn't a
thing. There was, but I couldn't recall.
Oh, here it is. Canada.
Canadian?
Oh, it was Canadian. From 2013. 2 minutes flat. And it's all that it needed was 2 minutes flat was for that film.
Yeah. Delightful.
So definitely The Makeover, a fun 2 minute film, which you can get. And then there's Melonhead.
Oh, Melonhead.
Melonhead.
Man, Melonhead. Melonhead. Okay.
Story of a. Try to sum this up?
Was it wetter than a.
I'm going to get you wetter than an otter's pocket. Because that's exactly where I was going to go. I said, we have to say this to lead it off. Because that was
I'm
like three
times. I'm going to get you wetter than an otter's pocket. Yeah.
You'll get her wetter than an otter's pocket. Because I remember turning to you and going, did I just hear that correctly? Otter's pocket? What?
Yeah, I know. That was definitely a statement.
Well, I love that she asked, you have no idea what that means, do you?
And he's like, no.
No. And this story is about a loser guy, kind of a
guy. But very sweet.
A sweet loser guy who has a crush on the girl at the local laundromat, and they finally decide to go on a date as long as he doesn't ask her out again. And he takes advice from the creepy old snarly janitor who tells him if you scare her, you'll get her wetter than an otter's pocket.
Yeah,
take her out to the woods where supposedly the melon heads, the melon head kids are hanging out.
Yes,
and we take it from there. And this one was fun. It was a cute story. It was real people too. We were talking about this before in the after party. That
much so.
This one really just felt like realistic as far as the people and how odd this guy was. But
Gordon,
he was,
put your shirt back on.
Gordon,
it's not dry yet.
Gordon, the odd guy in here trying to get the date. I think that was his name, Gordon.
Gordon. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it because he felt realistically odd, though. Even when he rented the hearse for the date, even when he rented that. Casket for the buffet.
The coffin buffet.
The coffin, he had
coffin buffet.
He had kind of a... how can that not turn a woman on? I mean, seriously.
Kind
of a Chris Farley vibe to
That's
him.
That's my argument.
The character Chris Farley always plays that kind of lovable loser.
Mm-hmm.
I think what worked
Good
partially...
Richard Spendrick, yeah.
Yes.
And I think what worked about it was that was... All of the characters had the same sort of over-the-top yet real feel to them.
Mm-hmm.
No one stuck out as being overly weird. Everyone felt like
quirky.
Yes, quirky, and they all populated the same world.
Quirky group, yes.
Yes, and they all of the characterizations were good. All of the people, and like Dawn was saying, all of the people felt real.
Yeah.
And that's what I think it was such a uniform approach to everything. Everything felt so even as far as nothing stuck out as far as...
you didn't have somebody playing the straight man.
No, yeah.
There was no straight
normal
person.
Guy to make so you could tell how weird the rest of them are.
Everybody had a quirk to them or something, you know.
It was
very small town vibe in that regard.
Yeah. It was a delightful movie.
It was. It was
all of the ones tonight, I think this one I ascribe the word delightful to.
It was delightful.
It was fun.
It really was.
And
I liked the ending too. Because,
and sweet.
The ending was perfect because you're like, well, maybe they aren't, and then they do, and then you're like, okay, that's awesome.
Yes.
And it makes you feel a little sad for him as well. So a little sympathy for him. So we'll move right along then to Christmas Eve Pet Massacre.
Oh my God.
About parents getting revenge on their odd owners, one of them who is into bestiality, at least one. This one, it took me a minute because the people are all exaggerated in it at first.
Mm-hmm.
And so for about 10 seconds, I'm like, they're all exaggerated. But I knew the title of it. So the minute I saw just how exaggerated their emotions were around the Christmas table and they were all like, blah, blah, you know, oh, I'm eating. Oh, I'm like, they're telling it from the perspective of the pets from minute one.
Yeah.
This is how the pets... see the people with the over expressions,
they're eating birds.
The barbarianism of the dinner that they're having, you know, and I love that. Once that clicked, I'm like, I know where we're going with this now. I didn't expect them to go to the bestiality part, but
no one expects
bestiality.
Much like the Spanish Inquisition,
But that helps set it up for the nasty things that were going to happen to this family by the hands of their dog.
That was the one step too far.
The dog ate my dick. I think that just sort of that sums up
that
this
movie.
And that was the moment where I think that was one of the first moments where we all went, oh,
that was the one where it's like, oh, that's where we're going on this one. Yeah. All right, then. Buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy night.
That's right. It's not going to get any better from here.
And yet, you guys, the dildo with the nail sticking out of it, nothing.
Not
really?
As much. Well, because that was...
She was dead.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Well, no.
Well, it does. I'd feel differently if someone did that to you.
While you're alive.
But if you were dead, fire, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I know this discussion will continue when you get to She, I can tell.
Wow,
yeah.
This just drifted off the rails real
quick. Oh boy, yeah, it's way off the rails.
No,
sorry,
the dog eating
had a little
we can't
bit.
Even see
no,
the rails anymore.
The dog eating the dick wasn't...
The dog with the match.
The dog with the match was hilarious.
Oh God, that was wonderful.
The parents.
And
when the
young girl flees into their room and dad just looks at mom with this knowing like, yep, we knew it was going to happen.
Here, it finally happened.
Blam, blam.
And the little girl's the only one left alive. I love that.
No.
What? The final girl.
The one of the sons is left alive.
Yeah,
with no hands trying to open the present. He goes, my fingers!
He's trying to push his glasses up with his stump.
And the animals...
So should not be left.
I should add the pets they got for this. I don't know where they found these dogs. Most adorable pets.
And
especially
like
the little schnauzer.
Too.
The little schnauzer that gets the bestiality done to him is the most adorable dog. So you feel just... Even worse, the implied, yes.
The dogs.
Chihuahua thing.
It was some mix.
The dogs had the best
Chihuahua
reaction
Chihuahua
shots
yeah.
in that they didn't have to do anything.
No,
yes.
it was sound design and
you just
camera.
Had to look cute.
Yes.
You sit there and look like a dog. Yes, perfect.
Yeah. And by them doing that, and then they throw these visuals, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
They turned them into reaction shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. It was good.
It
yeah.
was. It was.
Without having to put peanut butter in their mouths and then mime words and songs like
yes.
back in the.
Yes. No animals were harmed in the making of this
but
short.
But the implication is that there was some peanut butter.
Exactly.
There was.
Yes.
Somewhere.
That's you. Well, there's stories. That's how you make that happen.
That's all for another podcast. And then we move on to
the Dixon Cider Show.
That was actually the thought I was having. Not even.
And then there was Call Girl, an interesting angle of a guy with a webcam who's broadcasting his date with a call girl that goes
awry.
Well, not awry. It's a snuff date.
It is a snuff date. Yes, it goes awry.
And that it doesn't go the way he expected. So
yeah. It's just not the snuff the way he wanted. Had the guy from the Human Centipede 2 in there, and it had Tristan Risk from American Mary in there, and I liked it. I've seen it a couple times. I like it for the first short by Jill.
Oh, God, how did I not recognize her?
Tristan Risk?
Yes.
In it? Yeah, I know.
Okay.
It's okay. I liked it for Jill's first short. Kept it simple still.
Yes.
Nice little twist at the end.
Yes.
They did a great thing in there. I said this in my review of it. They did a great thing in there with the sound effect that has now become common for everybody to recognize as a messenger response to a chat. So you only get the one side of the guy's chat by his reactions, and then you just get the little bloop. But the bloops are timed just perfectly to where you can figure out or fill in the blanks of what these people are most likely saying from his reactions.
Yeah.
And at the same time,
he didn't repeat.
No.
Yes.
It's not like he was reading aloud what he was reading. Where, you know, the radio version of, I have to explain everything to you because you can't, this is the stuff you can't see. You know, it wasn't that at all.
They were very much Chewbacca conversations. Think about Star Wars.
Excellent way to express it. Excellent way to express it.
They were Chewbacca conversations.
Everybody understands it except you.
Mm-hmm. And sort of like, and you're having a conversation, you don't know what the other person is saying, but you know exactly what is being said.
Or R2 at that point, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what we'll also say, that's what was missing in the prequels as well, but that kind of linguistic fun.
Yes.
Where, you know, that's sort of where... I'll stop right now.
That is a deep hole
to understand
fall
the story.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. There's enough context from his reactions to understand what's going on, what they're doing, and what's setting it up for.
But you and I were talking about this, I think, earlier, too, where we were saying if they would have trimmed that ending by, like, just maybe a few seconds, it has a little more impact.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's not that the ending was poor. It was just... It just went on a little longer than you needed to have for
Did
that
you like
moment.
That?
Yeah.
Blink.
And then ended versus then another line of dialogue after that.
Or even, you know, just all the...
Or the chewing.
I'm chewing on your liver.
Yeah.
Because I
all right, I've seen it happen, and it's still happening.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have more impact because it's continuing.
Right.
I disagree with the last line.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I think it works perfectly because it goes from that, she savagely kills a guy.
Yes.
And then does the, did you like that? And then her, you know, that,
blink.
Did you like that? You know, that kind of.
Yeah.
And then to the, back to her sweet little, see you soon.
Oh, yes.
It is a taunt.
That it is a taunt.
It's how quickly she can switch.
I've already put the demon in the box, so to speak.
She put the demon right back and she moved on. So definitely a fun short, especially for her first one. And
yes,
we're rolling through these pretty quick. It's getting late. So
this is not quick. But keep going.
Then there is She, starring Brad Dourif's daughter.
Fiona, right?
Yes, yeah. Fiona Dourif.
Not even.
And I think what is first notable to be said about this is that there's no dialogue.
Well, there's one line.
Yes.
Yeah,
one near line. The end
Happy
of the
anniversary,
film.
Dear.
Yes.
And that's it. Yet they told a great, complete story, a very disturbing story.
Yes.
A very emotional story without ever saying dialogue.
Yes.
It was a little bit of kind of, but it was very...
There were...
The slight overacting wasn't so egregious where you go, ooh, you know.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of like, you know, arms would kind of linger out a little bit longer, you know, and everything.
You could paint
it
as...
But it worked for the pseudo-silent thing that was happening, too.
You could have painted it black and white, and it probably would have been...
It would have been just as fun.
Just as fun, you know, because it was almost like a silent picture. And there's the extra added metaphor, don't get me wrong, of the silence of abuse inside a house.
Yeah,
someone doesn't admit that there's abuse going on.
Oh, yeah.
you know, there's that, or the no dialogue between them because there's that much separation between them.
Yeah.
Because he is the master in his household, and that's that.
And one of the most powerful scenes to really display how repressed she was the carrot cutting scene.
Oh, yeah.
When he just bent her over, and she's holding onto the knife, and she's holding onto the knife, and she took it. And didn't even try to...
She didn't. She had it in her hand. Yeah. She could have did something right then and there, and I was expecting
that,
it, and she...
Well, that was... Yeah, I kind of expected it too, but that was...
Very expressive.
That was the statement that this is not the first time this has happened.
Yeah. Right.
And it was... It's that weird, awkward, where it's like, hey, if this is the fun we're having, then this is okay. This is clearly not the fun we're having. This is him being a bastard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know? Well, and then they had the separate bed in their bedroom.
Yeah.
For her to sleep in, like, the naughty bed, like...
Yeah, you haven't behaved, she did so something. You're not allowed to sleep next to me.
So she couldn't sleep in the same bed with him, even, you know. And at first I thought maybe that was something she put there, but it wasn't. It was a discipline thing.
Yeah.
I was taking that... I was taking that more as of her choice. I don't know.
She didn't have choice.
I don't think
I felt like she got baby. She put baby in a corner. Where I felt that was. She did something he didn't like, and he put baby in a corner.
It was extremely clear she did not have choices.
Yeah. You know, but it was all established without dialogue, and that's what I love the most is.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, you focused more on the actions of the people.
True.
And it brought more impact to it. So while it was maybe a little more over-exaggerated, could get their point, it wasn't to the point of where it was too much.
It wasn't comical. It wasn't...
No.
There was nothing comical.
Yeah. And then...
even when they came home the night she had the clothing laid out.
Yes.
She did not get dressed until she got approval.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, she.
And
she,
it was, yeah, it was that. And again, it wasn't a fun anything. That was
no.
He's going to kick.
Well, and she.
It's, you know.
And I loved it. She even had a little bit of, just subtle. I don't know if you caught it with her in heels. She doesn't normally wear heels because she's standing there and she's trying not to fall over.
Yeah. Yes, I did catch that.
And I loved that bit.
Because there was a moment where I'm like, is she sick? No, that's the heel.
It's the heels because she
was like leaning against the wall and then kind of pushed herself off so she could lean on the bed.
It was almost like, since it was their anniversary, he allowed her to get dressed up.
Or
he made her get dressed up for it. You know, and then she gets her revenge by severely chopping his penis.
Flaying.
Oh boy.
Making it look like a vagina.
That would be super incision as opposed
super
to sub
incision.
Sub incision is underneath, super incision.
And she did not do it fast either.
No, very slow entry right at the tip.
Thank you. I'd forgotten
about
this.
Urethral super incision.
I was trying to block it out. Yeah.
I will say, the prosthetic that they used for it,
the fake penis,
was impressive.
Very well made.
Yeah.
Between
pretty
frightening.
Yeah.
Yes.
Between the texturing and even after they cut it in half, I was like, wow, that's what the corpus callosum sort of looks like in there.
Sure looked like she cut his cock about.
Yes.
All of a sudden, hey, look at that.
I think, you know,
this is now anatomy class.
Yeah.
I hope she gets more roles, not just because she's Brad Dourif's daughter, because she did fantastic in it for one of her first, emotions and everything. You could tell she has a theatrical background, but it was just, if without her performance, that thing doesn't work.
If you don't have skilled performer, because you have two actors to explain, you know, doing this silently, you have to have.
And his role didn't have to be as conveyed as well as hers, because all he had to do was just be the asshole.
Didn't have to be as nuanced.
He had one mode.
He had one mode. He didn't have to show really any emotions or anything.
Right.
It was just the one.
Also agreed.
One dynamic where if the female character doesn't show the emotions. or the inner turmoil and whatnot, it doesn't work.
The depth of the emotion that she had to express.
Yes.
Yeah, so she was a great way to end it. Of course, it was before the dinner break. Thank you, John Pata, for that one.
And we went to have hot dogs.
And we went to have hot dogs, yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Hot Dog Charlie's.
Yeah. Woo-hoo.
Last year he
excellent hot dogs.
Last year he put the penis torture movie after dinner. That was the one in the vice.
I forgot about that one, too.
the dad getting the revenge on the guy who broke up with the daughter.
Yes.
And that one last year was before dinner, just after dinner. And
that was pretty
I think I blocked too. That one. I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
A lot goes on betwixt the years.
Yes.
You forget about stuff.
And then we got into service. We're into service.
Oh,
the service.
Another child peril. Yes,
that was another
child
peril.
But there was no gun held to that child, so it didn't bother me.
There was peril, but there was no necessarily immediate peril.
Here we have a mom who is late for work, and you think she's just a regular maid. She happened to bring her daughter to the house where she needs to be cleaning, and you find out she's a special maid.
Well, you know, the hose she was wearing as she was approaching the house, it did not surprise me when she
I didn't catch the hose she was wearing initially.
So. Oh, no, those she was wearing some fishnets.
This was right after the break. I wasn't still in the food coma.
Yeah.
He was still focused on the chap penis.
not a surprise when the dress came off, put it that way.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I figured there was something else going on when she told her to stay in the room and don't. I'm like, okay, she's not just doing maid service, something else is going on.
Yeah,
but rich people, you never quite know what they're
doing. But then
I snuck you into the house. I was caught off guard.
And then she's a lingerie maid providing a service that the client ends up dead, and she finds this psycho guy in the bedroom with her daughter.
The gardener.
Apparently he was simple.
I don't think he was psycho. I think he was just simple. Uh-huh. Which is why I don't know if she and her daughter were ever truly at risk with him.
Oh. It's hard to tell.
It's hard. I think that was intentional.
But that's what makes it frightening is because you're not sure.
You're not sure.
Well,
where he's coming from.
He cut the bad parts out of the guy.
So it's not like he like mostly went in and killed him. He did something that...
No, because he's like, I got to sew him back up.
I got to sew him back up. He'll be fine.
Yeah, and this guy's just not... Nah. You know,
and he played that very well.
The actor played that very well. Yeah. He was a simple Simon.
He wasn't over the top. He had some tics.
Why are you still in the closet?
Yeah.
Yes.
He completely thought what he had done was right, and I didn't think either, and that was another thing, I didn't actually feel the threat from him either. I think she cooked up the threat more than the actual threat from...
Well, I mean...
He killed someone. He had a knife. It's understandable.
I just have a problem with her taking her daughter and hiding in a freaking closet to begin with, when she clearly could have chosen to go out the other door.
Oh, yeah.
Panic is panic.
It's panic.
And stupidity is stupidity.
Also that. Yeah. Crap, I turned the wrong way somehow.
You saw the shoes she put on. She wasn't going to be running.
No.
Also true. Yeah. She didn't take those off either.
When she came out, I'm like, oh, cripe's sake, take off those shoes.
No, yeah, I thought that. I'm like, man, those are some big shoes, dude.
It was still...
You could barely walk in them sun guns.
And her shoes were easier to take off than yours are, Mark.
Yes, that's true.
True that, yeah.
I did like the ambiguity of whether or not he actually was going to hurt them at any point or not.
Yes.
You know...
Because that's the... I agree. I don't think he was dangerous, but you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
That was the concern.
I will say, I don't think we needed the 911 call at the end.
No, we did not need the 911 call. That was extraneous. The 911 call was not needed. You could have just left it with the credits rolling.
I don't think it helped. I don't think it added much.
It didn't add anything. In fact, it might have taken even away of it. I didn't need to hear her crying or justify it. You set it up enough
and
to where...
nobody was hurt. They've got two people dead and nobody was hurt.
Are you safe now? Yeah, it was just like,
It was an odd way to end it. We didn't need that closure.
Yeah.
You didn't need that closure because... You know, here the guy had done something wrong and she killed him. You didn't need to try to justify her killing with the 911 call.
Arguably, we're back to our, you didn't end this well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because this is, you know, you have the slight, this is our situation. most of the movie is just the buildup of them, can we get away from this guy?
Right.
And then, you know, they stab him quickly, and then the movie ends. And then you, the 911 calls, the, well, we kind of ran out of time moment. And I'm like,
yeah.
Well, okay. Are you trying to use the 911 calls that we got away fine? Because it just kind of just... It was really abrupt.
It was abrupt, not in a good abrupt way, where you go,
that was it?
I would have almost rather had them show her and her daughter running away from the house.
Yes.
At the end.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She killed him. They run away from the house.
Or even, you don't know if he's dead or not. He's just, you know, they injured him.
You see her stab him with the hanger, and the next scene you see is them running out of the house.
Yes.
And you just end it.
I'd have been fine with that.
I would have been better with that than with a 911 call because you not only that, but
even
it's
if she's
a bookend.
Got her, yeah.
Not only that, it's a bookend because we started the film with them running up to the house and then we end it with them running away from the house.
Yeah. Yes.
And that brings you enough feeling of closure to where you don't need that 911 call.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're going to make it?
He's got heartburn.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry, dude.
Sorry to hear that. But yeah, so it was all right, but it, again, another one that. Could have ended differently.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't good.
No.
It was what it was. It was fine.
Then we had Waterborne from Australia.
Okay, I liked that one for the same reason I liked Black Sheep, for the same reason I liked Night of the Lepus.
Mm-hmm.
Zombie roos.
Well, I was what I
because kangaroos are like. Australia's
Although,
version of deer for Wisconsin. You know, they're just around.
And here with Waterborne, folks, we have contaminated water that ends up spawning zombie roos, and we see where this epidemic spawns from is the zombie roos.
Am I the only one who felt like it was two different movies tacked together?
How so?
He goes up, and it's this slow-developing beginning where he's talking with this get off my lawn sort of guy.
True.
Talking about how nothing's ever been bad and we've all weathered everything. And everything's always been good and he may or may not have been tearing down these signs saying watch out for the water.
Yeah.
And then the DNR guy's driving away and he gets taken down by zombie kangaroos.
Infected kangaroos. That zombified him.
Some manner of kangaroos, yes. They felt like such completely different movies to me between the mood and the pacing of the first half and being taken out by freaking zombie.
The kangaroo does come out of nowhere.
Yes, it does!
It does totally come out.
It's an Australia thing.
Again, because they're like deer. You're just driving. Oh,
yes.
Look, there's a kangaroo.
This takes me to something else that bothers me in horror films.
Okay.
It also bothers me in some thrillers, is the people somehow forget they're in a large metal box that moves.
Yeah.
In a car.
Yeah.
Well,
how did he get out of the car?
Why in the hell did he shut the engine off?
Or not roll up the window, or not keep driving.
Because he goes, oh, there's a kangaroo in my path. I will shut the car off to turn on the high beams. I mean, it is entirely possible that maybe cars work like that in Australia. You have to do that. And I just don't know. There's some Australian dude going, man, Dig is a complete idiot over there. He doesn't, you know, sorry if I don't have the accent. It's close. You know, he's an idiot, you know, because he doesn't know how cars work in Australia. But it was just like, he shuts the car off and then goes to like, and I'm like, are we going to get the traditional now the car won't start moment? And he just kind of gives up on it.
If there was a basement, he would have gone into it. Put it that way.
Kind of, yeah.
What I would have liked and where I was hoping they would go for it.
Like the last film.
I understand they went with him being zombified.
In
that was cool.
And it's
I was so hoping when I saw the farmer guy that he had corralled the zombie roos and in some way was a
responsible.
Yes. Also,
I
with
was
you on
thought
that
they
one.
Were going that route, and I wish they would have because that would have brought it a little bit, like you said, it would have brought it together a little bit more. I thought for sure that he might necessarily not have made the zombie ruse,
he was aware of them,
yes,
and he had them in his farm,
mm-hmm,
and throwing something about damn zombies, you know, damn kangaroos keep getting out of my
fences. I was hoping for something, yes, like a Lost Boy, sort of like, something I can't stomach about living in Australia, all the damn zombie kangaroos.
Yeah. You know, something like that, nice, that attached him more to the zombie ruse,
mm-hmm, yes,
yeah, would have been nice. It wasn't neat. I still really enjoyed it, but
it was fun.
Yeah, it would have brought it a little bit more full
story. Do not get us wrong. This was fun.
Oh yeah,
and part of it was for me just seeing kangaroos.
Yeah.
Speaking of fun, the next one.
What is the next one?
Fist of Jesus.
Fist of Jesus.
Jesus.
Folks.
I've already sent links of Fist of Jesus to my friends while we were in the bar afterwards.
Because it's online now. It's on YouTube.
It was on YouTube.
It is still on YouTube, apparently.
Yes. Oh. Look, I know this because I did this a couple hours ago.
And you know what was beautiful
longer
about Fist
ago
of
than
Jesus?
I thought.
Is that with the title of Fists of Jesus, you knew what was coming.
I thought there was going to be like Kung Fu or something at some point.
And even then, I was not expecting him to run away initially.
Screaming like a little girl running away.
I've heard little girls that didn't scream like that.
Jesus. Yes, folks, Fist of Jesus, to sum up, is Jesus versus zombies. Roman zombies, Pharisean zombies, and
cowboy zombies.
Okay, yes.
Because it's a Mexican film.
Because it's
Spanish.
I think it's Spanish.
All right. Those of you listening right now, stop. Stop listening to us. Go watch it right now and then come back.
It's like 15
yes.
minutes.
It's not...
And if you just can't be bothered and you're ready for this little moment of blasphemy...
yes, this
Jesus
is
goes to resurrect Lazarus and gets it wrong and turns him into a zombie.
Spanish.
It's sacrilegious.
It's clearly sacrilegious. Thank you, my man.
Sacrilegious.
Screams like a little girl, runs away with Judas Iscariot, of all people, who's his bestest friend.
And of course, Lazarus goes and infects everyone else in the area, turns everyone else into zombies, who then, of course, the Roman guards in the area try to attack the zombies, fail miserably, all get turned into zombies as well. Anyone's guess where the cowboys come from?
God only knows. Wham! Got you with that one, boy.
Yes. And of course,
there's like
it's,
5 million.
I need a weapon.
Apparently,
one fish.
Yes.
No.
Jesus. Two fish.
Two fish.
I have two fish.
Two fish.
The brilliant multitude of fishes. I was
Jesus throwing fish, I
yes.
think, is now a new expression. If I had a band, that might be the
Jesus
title
throwing fish.
Jesus throwing
Jesus
fish.
Throwing.
The only thing that was missing, I was hoping for a loaf to show up in there somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
I know. And Judas fighting side by side with Jesus.
Yes.
After he resurrects Judas twice.
And the
that was a great joke, because I'm like,
yes,
even I'm going, shouldn't you take him down off the rope first?
and you see, Jesus has a lot of ingenuity as far as the types of fishes that he fights with.
Oh,
that was brilliant.
I see you like to bite. You will then like
the
piranha.
and when the sawfish showed up.
Yes.
And even then, the cinematography associated with that.
Yes.
The saw cam. You know, and I will say...
There's a lot of CGI blood, but at the same time, there's
a lot of practical
stuff going on.
I had, you know,
yes.
talking about handy, and as far as that's... With the sawfish, that's the sort of imagery as far as...
I felt jealous, I will say that.
Yes,
point. I'm like,
exactly.
That's kind of, yes.
What
that
we
should have been my chainsaw look,
what
yes.
we were going for
yes.
with that. But,
yes.
you know, it's like, they can,
we were
own
close.
This, they can own that scene.
Oh, and they totally
that was
oh,
fine.
That,
oh, was
that, that had me in pain because...
It was awesome.
It was. It is not for those who are highly religious. You will be offended by this film.
But it was funny.
But it was hilarious. And yet another Spanish film that has got links
zombies
to
and
zombies
Jesus.
And Jesus together. We had that last year.
Yes!
Where Jesus was a zombie.
The second coming, he comes
yeah.
back as a zombie. And it was like, oh my God.
Yes.
Yes.
And we get another one. And this was just everything
this one was
it delivered.
So much more
it promised.
The and promises
a feature.
You know, they will be back. And I'm like, oh, I'm in. Here.
Yeah.
As the meme goes, take my money.
Yeah.
So, yes, so Fist of Jesus, go look for it online. It
delightfully
is
ridiculous.
Not for those who are easily offended, but it is friggin' hilarious.
Well, at least, yeah. That's
directed well, edited well.
Look good.
Just when you think they run the gambit, they pull out something else that
just when you think you can read the Bible again. Here comes Fist of Jesus.
Which moves us to The Stomach, a British one about an unusual medium
indeed.
Who can bring spirits so people can talk to him, but he does so through his stomach.
There's a whole lot of weight. What? In this one, as far as trying to catch up to where it's going, and then you do, and then you're still not sure you're entirely there. It's... I enjoyed this one. It was an entirely unique take on the whole idea
I totally agree on that.
Yes.
And the fact that they had the brother relationship in there. Mm-hmm. As well.
It's imaged between the two groups too.
Right.
Yes.
There's a brother image between the medium and his brother, who is kind of exploiting the brother for the money to talk to dead people, and then you got the two gangsters who are brothers, and one got killed by the other for.
Mm-hmm.
Something, yeah. Money, I believe.
There's something he's looking for.
There's
some kind of
container full of his business records.
You never quite figure
something.
Out what the MacGuffin is.
No.
What? He says, where did you hide the shooter?
Oh, the shooter?
Oh, is it the shooter? Okay, I didn't hear the shooter. Okay.
Yeah.
The accents were as good as I am with accents. Sometimes some of
the
slip
accents,
by
but
me
that
a
one
bit.
Was pretty thick. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
I had to train the ear for a minute.
Yeah,
cause I'm like,
and it took, and I probably missed that while I was tuning my ear.
So there was obviously something that the brother had over him,
right?
Plus the relationship between the living brother and the dead brother's
mm-hmm.
wife.
Yeah, there was that odd relationship between those two as well. But this one, I just liked it for the concept of the medium.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Pulling them through the stomach and people using the
a stethoscope
to listen to their
loved one.
Yeah.
Through his belly.
Yeah, I mean, that was just such a unique take on it. It's not your normal, you know,
it was
Madame
weird.
Zaza,
yeah.
who, you know. In,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
Knocking on the table.
This was a medical
love,
condition
yeah.
he had that ended up. Opening this doorway for him that he's had all his life.
Oh, it opened up his stomach.
Yeah, it opened up his stomach.
Are you kidding?
It was decent. I enjoyed it for the concept, especially more so than the actual full story. I liked it.
Right.
It was inventive.
It was original.
Something I was, a style or mm-hmm. something that I just had not seen before. And it got, mm-hmm. I gave it a lot of points just for that.
So that moved us to The Visitant, which... oddly enough, has the biggest names in it, and I think for me was the most meh. Even
I
though it
totally
seemed to have,
agree.
Even though it had the biggest names and the biggest budget, I think it had probably one of the bigger budgets.
Yeah,
it was meh.
It was the most mainstream.
And
movie
The Visitant,
coming back to the theme of child peril. Yes,
we
were
Visitant. We did have child peril, to where supposedly this a child. Shows up at mom, wakes her up because she's got scratches because there's some demon in the house. And we come to find out that it's not exactly a demon in the house, though there are demons that the mother has that are...
Yeah.
I loved the image of where mom was going after the demon,
yes.
only to find out that she was stabbing the pillow. And
yeah.
then have the daughter at the door saying, Mom... you're doing it again.
Yeah.
That was the best
cool.
scene in the entire movie.
Yes. Totally, yeah. I'll agree with that, too.
Yeah, and then it's sort of like it peaked at that moment.
It could have ended there.
Yes.
Actually, had it ended there, I probably would have thought so much more better of it. Because,
I would have loved it
because,
had it ended right there.
Because after that, you get the moment in the bathroom where you get it's the last pill, and it falls down the sink.
And
I'm like...
And the shiny moment
is
trying to cut through
the
door
trope.
And the... Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It went Hollywood after that. This was like Hollywood people trying to make an independent short.
Mm-hmm.
That's the feeling I got.
At the very least, it was somebody who had access to Hollywood people to make
right.
an independent
well, yeah.
short. Because the guy is saying it took him... There's
six months.
It took him 6 months, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Because I admittedly, when I saw Amy Smart and I saw Doug Jones, I got a little excited. I'm like, okay, these are people I like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it was horrible.
No, it wasn't horrible.
I was just hoping it would be more.
It
inventive.
Wasn't horrible. It was the most Hollywood type indie film.
Yeah,
it really was. Because had they ended it where the little girl goes, "Mom, you're doing it again," boom, end it.
Even if
let everybody else in the audience, you put together, that's what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And that's all you needed. You didn't need the extra bits.
Even if you just see them, you know, having to run out of the room after that, I wouldn't.
You really did not need to see the scenes of the panning to the photos.
At the end, yes.
And having the dates of the
deaths.
And not only that, who has a photo hanging on the wall
at the grave?
At the gravesite.
Taking a photo hanging out at the grave.
Yes, I did. I was watching the movie and I said, who does that?
There are people that take pictures alongside an open casket. So cultures are different.
At the same time,
it felt very, we are filling in more of the story, because that one felt more like the, we know you're not going to get it.
As soon as it hit the pillow, I'm like, ah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It had shown the pictures before when she was walking down the hallway to the daughter's room.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I bet dad's already dead in the picture.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's the moment where you go, she's going to try and save the youngest. Well, the youngest was dead with the dad.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But that
for me was the most meh and felt like the most Hollywood.
It was.
It went to the lower denominator rather than for that punch.
Part of me says, if Mama's doing this again, how did she get custody of that child back?
Well, yeah.
Fair enough.
I did like the demon design. I like the demon looked wicked.
Yeah,
looked
cool.
And the effects looked wicked. Cool. Mm-hmm. They just
Which is probably why it took 6 months, because they needed that much time to do the CGI in post-production.
If I needed a little bit more in DIY, I needed a lot less in this one.
Yes. And I think it's sort of like, in a way, they gave away too much of their big bad.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, it's
four.
Give less. Four. Give less.
Sometimes, less is more.
Mm-hmm.
Less can be much more.
And then we move on to House Call. The guy who says he's going to be a vampire and he needs his...
Yeah. It was weird.
I felt like I was missing something.
It was sort of like, okay, the guy says he's a vampire.
And he needs his teeth removed.
And he is.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That was
that's it.
Well, because I know you turned to me at one point, he'll be a werewolf. And I'm like, that would have been a much better...
That would have been great!
That's exactly what I thought.
I was hoping they were going to go in.
Because as the teeth came in after, you know, he gets his teeth pulled, and then, like, 3 seconds later has a fit, and the teeth come in, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yes.
So did pulling the teeth activate this completely then?
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering.
Or did it not matter? Or what? You know, there was a little bit of, okay, fine.
Nah.
I think, in all honesty, and I hardly tried to say negative things about a film, but I think this film tried to be a lot more than what it thought it was smarter than it was.
It's entirely... Well, I guess at the beginning you get that emotional moment where the dentist is looking at his family.
With the divorce papers.
And the divorce papers there.
And again, I feel like I missed something with that.
It just wasn't given out. It was connected
to nothing in the film.
Right.
No. I think what really sold this
all
is
that
if,
did was saying that the room, the house was empty.
Yeah.
When the guy said, "We can't be a vampire.
You got a reflection."
I think it would have been perfect. The guy would have said, "Well, then I'm a werewolf."
Oh yeah.
If he had instantly in his psychosis,
that would have
gone
yeah.
for that. I think it would have also just been better if you had just left it as the guy was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
As
if he would have just been crazy,
really a vampire.
If that would have actually worked, if you're not casting a reflection, because he goes, everybody knows that. And he went, yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for.
Yeah.
I gotta go now.
Yeah.
That would have been funnier.
Yeah. And the fact that it turns out that he's what he says he was. Okay.
Oh, okay. Crap. Yeah. I think it was trying to be smarter than it was.
Yeah.
It was trying to be a little more. I mean, shticky than what it was.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I mean, the idea was novel of a guy showing up and trying to get his teeth pulled.
Mm-hmm.
I think they lose you when they make it that he is actually a vampire.
Right.
Leave it ambiguous. Make him something else. Make someone else looking for him also show up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something along that lines. But making him a vampire, it
the ABCs of death. G is for gravity.
Yeah, it was there.
It was too literal.
He shows up, he says what he is, and that's what it turns out he is.
Yeah.
And that's it. There was no second shoe. There was no second shoe.
They just dropped both right there and showed them right away.
Well, the whole mirror scene at the end, where now he's not catching reflections. Like
we knew that.
We already know he's a vampire. Yeah. You don't have to now say, see now
he really is. You know what would have worked great?
It'd been more subtle. Is have him pull the teeth, thinking he was successful, as they're walking out. You see the guy's reflection disappear in the mirror, and he leaves and says, "Good night, thanks for curing me," when you know he's not cured.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would have been brilliant.
I like that idea much better than what we saw.
I'm cured. Yeah.
Have him walking him out and
have him walk past a mirror.
And have his reflection fade.
Fade out. Or just walk past, and then he has no reflection. Right.
Thanks, Mr. Dentist, sir. I feel so much better.
They're talking, they're having a conversation of how well he's good, and you watch him in the mirror, and you see his reflection suddenly disappear as they're still talking. Boom, cut. There you go.
And even if he bursts through the door after...
Even if you do a tag at the end where you see him munching on the guy at the end, the very end of the credits, that's fine, too. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they pull the trigger, he's a vampire, and he kills him there, I'm like, okay.
No, I'm with you on that one.
So
Timothy.
Another child.
Holy shit.
Child peril again.
It's a fucked up version of Harvey.
A kid seeing Timothy, the TV show with the big bunny talking, and suddenly the big bunny's in the house and killing the babysitter. But it's not the bunny.
No.
I loved that.
That was freaky.
The one thing I had to say about it. Did they have to use the Porky's font for everything?
They don't use the Porky's font.
It's different.
I'll give them a pass. That's just
Mexican TV font.
Mexican TV fonts, the Porky's.
Well, I thought it was funny. It was like a STC corporate production of or presentation of STC. And I'm like, okay, you have to repeat the name of your company? All right, whatever, dude.
But that was creepy. I loved that.
It did start out as a child peril thing.
It did start out that way.
True.
I did like...
Or at least a child abuse, you know, kind of in the way, like last year where we have this, the kids.
And, yes. And it did start out with that feel. The shift towards the end with the hand covering the other.
Mm-hmm.
That sold the entire short, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. That was the defining shot of the entire thing.
Well, yeah, you have that the cops dark. In there, and he's just sitting there on the couch.
With that creepy-ass grin.
He's smiling, and the balloons are dropping behind him.
Creepy kid movie.
I always realize or doesn't care that there's a SWAT team around him.
Mm-hmm. He's with his buddy Harvey, or Timothy in this case.
Well, it's the creepy dichotomy too of the mascot suit that doesn't move and shows no change in expression and has the bubbly kid friendly voice.
Yes,
as it's coated in blood.
Yes,
that's
and uses beautiful imagery.
Yes, that'll freak.
And there was some great practical effects in there with the sledgehammer and the babysitter's head.
Yes,
holy smeg.
And what was great is they didn't show everything. They showed quick flashes of you smashing the head and the blood, which was great. They didn't do like a pan-wide shot of him, the babysitter dead. And in fact, when the SWAT team shows up, you're not sure where the body of the babysitter is. Because they don't react to anything on the floor. They're searching yet.
Yeah, they're acting like something's going on. Happened. We know something happened, but we don't know what we're looking for.
Yeah. Well, the fact that it cuts back and forth between the kid sitting on the couch with and without Timothy.
Yes.
So
you know what that's going on, but the fact
that's that moment where you go, that's just in his head. Oh shit,
that was Harvey.
Because at first it's like, oh okay, where the hell did he come from? Is it an intruder? For half a second, I thought it was doing the Tales from the Crypt thing.
Yeah,
where it's the guy from the insane asylum in the Santa Claus suit. And breaks into your house on Christmas. your day just turned to shit. But, so there was, I'm like, okay, maybe that's it. And I'm like, and then when, so when you get a little bit further in, you get to that point, I'm like, oh, I like that even better.
Yeah,
kid's off his nut. Because he looked a little old to be watching that show.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
That was the other side to it, too. I'm like, it's not that
I thought he was old for that show, too.
Yeah, because he looked like he was 10 or 12 or something. Mm-hmm. It looked like a 5-year-old kid, 6-year-old kid show. You know, with very bright colors and simple and everything. It was, you know. And I went, okay, he can like it. That's fine. Oh, he's crazy. Okay.
Yeah. He's batshit crazy.
Damn sure.
And then that was just the Wisconsin premiere of the Canadian fairy tale inspired by Guillermo del Toro. Oh, the boy's name was Guillermo.
Yeah, I
caught that. Yeah. This one had such a Burton feel, the hair-eating monster in the bathroom.
Well, as soon as they started doing the little voiceover at the beginning,
Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah.
That was what?
In a
Pan's Labyrinth.
Pan's Labyrinth. Yeah, Guillermo. You could tell.
Very positive way.
Yes.
Not a... Hi, we're trying
to
do...
It wasn't obvious until the end credits.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it wasn't reaching so hard. It wasn't like, hi, this is what we're doing. It was just we're doing a film. And it was like, oh, okay.
They did a fairy tale. Well. It was a fairy tale that was shot beautifully.
Oh, yeah.
It was
wonderful.
The cinematography in there was just fantastic.
Yes.
And the creature effects were great, too.
Ooh, so you know that one. I had one of those last night.
The interaction between the younger brother and the older sister was
really
good.
What'd you feel about?
Really good.
What'd you feel about?
Oh, I loved it. I mean, the whole fairy tale in the my fairy tale. We're talking in the Grimm's fairy tale.
Oh, very Grimm.
It's definitely. It's not the not the Disney happy ending to everything.
No, and the fact that he had the bully daughter. Bully sister.
Man.
The guy had the bully sister with all the hair. And here he is chopping his hair to feed the beast in the bathroom so he could go take a leak. I knew it was going that way when I saw all of her hair. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how are we going to get there?
I liked what they did. I was expecting him to have to take some sort of ninja mission to cut off her hair to placate the monster in the bathroom. I really like that she learned there was something in there as well.
Yeah, with the hair.
It's very Snuffleupagus that way. That you sort of, thank you very much. It's very Snuffleupagus.
Oh, brother, wow.
And that everyone learns there is the monster in the bathroom.
Yes. Yes.
And it's sort of like it's not just him. Everyone understands what he's been seeing the entire time.
Yes.
And I like that. It's a very relieving sort of feeling to know that.
Relieving.
Not just pissing your pants there, too. No. Yeah.
The other thing that was thrown, because this is so stupid, too. In my head, when we're getting monster in the bathroom, please tell me. just that English beats. I think it was English. Who did that? Selector? Who did that? It was Mirror in the Bathroom. I turned in my own head. All of a sudden, it was playing as Monster in the Bathroom. I'm like, what in the hell? Oh, and then these ska-like songs coming back at me. I don't know.
And then we get to the final film of the night. It wasn't The Perfect Husband. They had out of their control, so they substitute it with a film called Blood Punch.
Horrible title.
It was a terrible title.
Makes no sense to me.
No.
Yeah.
Excellent film. Did not understand the title. Yes.
Well,
sort of like Edge of Tomorrow in that way.
Or Blood Junkie. There's plenty of these movies that get picked up to some level of distribution, and they get tacked with the worst effing title.
Well,
so long as you put blood or something in it, then people go, oh, go watch that one. It's got blood in it. You know.
Well,
apparently Uncle Hirsch, killed us all by putting Blood Feast as his first film, so now every movie that it gets to that point has to have blood in the title.
Well, it involved blood. Here we had a story that's kind of a Groundhog Day meets your horror film, kind of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, where you got a guy gets busted out of the juvie hall he's in by a attractive teen, attractive other inmate. Female
and I will
with
say
a psycho crazy police boyfriend.
The first 10 minutes bothered the hell out of me. In that it's sort of like, okay, why are they allowing this? Admitted, I'm just looking for a meth cooker into this
anti-drug group
into this Narcotics Anonymous circle.
Yes, because they're in rehab.
They're in rehab. Why is she in there in the first place? The first 10-15 and then of course this carnal relationship they immediately have. It's sort of like, where was this movie at for the first 15 minutes or so? It really bothered me. And then the actual plot started.
Yeah.
And then I didn't care anymore. And
There's that. Well, the pre-credit sequence was enough to go, all right, what the hell's going to happen next?
Mm-hmm.
And then you jump into that, and I'm like, whoa, where are we getting to? Oh, we're at the cabin now. And I think I turned to you at one point and said, at least early on, you know, because we've had this the last few years where we get this crazy, over-the-top, mental, psychotic, whatever male character that is ridiculous enough to be entertaining.
Yes.
No, and this was one of the few ones that I've seen that wasn't played by Mike Goltz. You know,
and that was when
nobody got a Pabst Blue Ribbon opened on the cracked open on their ass.
Yeah.
Which is a pity because that was awesome.
And it really
Mike
was.
Is awesome. Thank you, Mike.
I was sort of expecting that dynamic to happen for the rest of the movie where there's this overbearing character.
Yeah.
And how are they going to get out from underneath him? And when that character
shoot him in the face.
When that character was essentially neutered very early on in the movie, that made it, it's like, okay, I can enjoy this movie now. And it was really strange because
when you get him again, then it's not quite as bad.
Yeah.
I was trying to come up with a different title for the film, and the only one that, it's stupid too, but we kept killing Russell. Which is odd, because again, that's one of my younger brothers.
You killed Russell, you bastards. I enjoyed the concept, the idea that it was an Indian thing and they killed him. Which means, though, what I love is it means that the very first kill is one we didn't see.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because that had to happen.
Yeah.
Because he didn't remember the first time.
And let it be said that the plot of Blood Punch, it was?
Yeah,
it's called Blood Punch. Yeah.
Blood Punch. The plot of it's Groundhog's Day / Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's actually more, I found it to be more Edge of Tomorrow. Because
they can change it different ways.
They're trying to change it. They're learning the path through it.
And they reboot.
Yeah, and they reboot.
To some degree.
And not having seen that. And that's what I was trying to understand is because they were sort of indicating that they might or might not remember things.
Well, it depends on
what happened
on
them the day before.
Right, yeah.
So, like, if you get, you know, you could accumulate knowledge to a point, but apparently if you died in that day, you lost something.
Yes. Well,
because that, you know, that's to that point where it's like, where he goes, that's why he knew my method. He was watching me do it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Then,
because
and then when they start killing Russell at that point, that's when he loses
that what
it.
Makes
Because he goes, he's just a fucking idiot.
He starts gathering information, then he stops dying.
Well,
right.
And that's where I was saying we didn't see the first death of the meth cooker.
Yeah.
We saw Milton go to the cabin, but we didn't see the first death of the meth cooker because, like she said, she wanted to be with him and then with.
Now she wanted to be with Milton. Russell had to have died
at least half a dozen times. I mean, Milton had to die at least half a dozen times
before. More than that.
Because we see that Milton corpse yard thing.
Yeah,
and there's
a bunch of
him
piled up. And of course, according I did the monster math.
Somebody did good.
According
44,000 hours.
44,000 hours, that's 5 years.
Yes.
Yeah, they've been doing it for a long while. Yeah,
that's a lot of doing it.
That's a lot.
Good for them.
And that was the implication. It was Edge of Tomorrow.
Right.
It was the same idea in there, too, that they were doing this same day
for many years
working through it. And I liked the idea. It was the same sort of feeling of working through a video game there, too, where there's the steps you have to do, and it's sort of like, oh, that's a cheap death there, man, come on. And it's sort of like, okay, and you learn the path through it. Mm-hmm. And so, like, okay.
Especially in the old school games where it's like, okay, I got. Ah, I just moved one pixel too far.
Yes. Yeah. And you learn, it's like,
I gotta start all the hell over again.
At this point, I have to turn to the left and shoot before I necessarily know what's coming.
Yeah.
And after a while,
it's a Dragon's Lair game.
Yes. It becomes second nature.
Yes. It's like, Dragon's Lair.
Well said.
Yes. When he walks
you
out.
You had to die so many times in order to figure things
out.
Yeah. What'd you think, Glenn, of Blood Punch?
I liked it, although. I have been
we've been having some discussion
different logical things that they it might simply be that how they think it works is not how it works.
Yeah.
Like one of the things they say to escape, they have to get off of
the land. Yeah.
The land, which if they drove all day, they could get halfway across the US. And I don't know any native tribe that had a range that spanned from California to, say, Missouri.
Yes.
Or just go west and get on a boat and go in the ocean, because no Native American tribes lived in the ocean.
We're on a boat!
Which is a joke that...
Well,
other...
We're on a boat, motherfucker!
That leads you to... it. They probably didn't have it all figured out.
Well,
until the very end... when she's the only one left, then it's suddenly, oh.
Because they're coming up with theories, and then they kind of have to disprove them, and then they move on. So I don't think at any given point that they, whatever they ascribe as the rules to it necessarily were accurate.
Yes.
Because even when you get to a certain point, like, oh. Because we went through some of that even before, too, where it's like, well... what happens if nobody dies? Apparently, nothing, because they tried that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they imply after that that would have worked. But it clearly didn't, because you tried that.
Yeah.
So there's a certain level of confusion, it seems, to kick in, because they can only be... which is, I think, realistic in that regard, too, because...
after a while, they repeat themselves because they forgot what they tried before, or that they, well, it's going to work this time.
Yeah, well, maybe we tweaked a little something and it'll be different, but, you know, it's insanity.
I think part of it
is... this is just occurring to me now. This isn't... It's trying the same thing again and see if, you know, and that's the definition of insanity.
Well, I think part of the problem is it's the trying to assign logic to the supernatural.
Yes.
Which is something that goes against logic.
Right.
Because then you look at other parts of it, it's like the... Why do the dead people repeat?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because it's not that they, you know, because if you don't die, you get healed. But if you die, your corpse remains behind.
Yeah.
There was, and that's something we were talking about, where that's the corpses remain. That's a source of renewable energy.
Yeah.
You get to burn the corpses.
Where in the hell
eat the corpses?
Put 5 years. That's...
but at the
almost
same time,
2,000 corpses.
But at the same time,
sack them like cordwood.
They never run out of food. They never run out of fuel. They never run out of whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, all that kind of just kind of.
Imagine how many Russell corpses that is. Imagine how many Milton corpses that is. That's huge.
You should plant those all in the Sahara.
Yeah.
And give it a little water, and boom, can be back to plant life in a heartbeat.
I like the concept.
That's a lot of fertilizer.
I like the execution. Like every film that does this now, though, even I think Edge of Tomorrow actually handled it the best. It with the repetitive, visually watching it gets repetitive.
Yes.
So you get a scene, you get a little bit too many repetitive scenes in there. It's like we get it.
There was a period where I was like, I've lost track of how long I've been watching this film.
The hook, the shtick has been established and done. Let's move forward. And yet they still didn't quite do that.
And I think that's what
could have.
That's what Edge of Tomorrow did better, was that they established very early on what could break the pattern.
Right.
And that was the thing about Blood Punch, was that we didn't know what would break the pattern.
No.
And so that allowed it to repeat ad infinitum.
Yeah, because there was a period where it just was kind of spinning, and it was still interesting.
Yeah,
but it was spinning. You were seeing a lot of the same visuals.
And then once it finally moved on, it was like, oh, different things are happening. Yay!
Don,
yes.
Don has left the building. We have stayed up way too long. It is O-Dark 30 plus 3.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, we're almost at
3 in the morning.
So we're almost done anyway.
Yeah, this is the last one, so.
Yes.
It was a good way to end the night. It makes me wonder what the perfect husband was, but this one was fun.
I would like to see this one again when it's not the last, because there is that certain level of,
well, the
end of the day is always a rough one to get through. And it's not, again, it's not, this one felt like it ran for 3 hours at some point. Just, but I don't think it was because, it clearly wasn't because I wasn't interested, because I was. I was enjoying it. It was just that whole,
I think it was the fact we had, I think it was the fact that we had a lot of shorts.
Yes.
And we were accustomed to the shorter story. So when you finally got to a longer story, it felt even longer, just because you'd been conditioned throughout the day with the shorter films.
Yeah.
And I know that was the case last year. What was the baseball team one last year?
Billy Club.
I know that I felt
it was it's a good movie, but it was the end of the night.
And I know that last year I felt Billy Club was long as well. So that's probably the
and
one.
It's probably 80 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might be 95 or whatever. Yep. But it's, and I love that movie to death. But at the same time, I'm sure. That last one is.
So there you go, folks.
It's about as long as us talking tonight.
Yes.
There you go. 2 hour long discussion about the films of the Oshkosh Horror Film Festival. It gives you a flavor of what type of films they will. We won't be doing a breakdown of the Sunday ones, or we might. I don't know. Eventually, probably not the same group, but we'll see what we can do. We're just playing this by ear. Thank you for listening. And as always, remember, the films may be spoiled, but our conversation is fresh, though it is getting a little musty in here.